Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Capital Appreciation is one of the more interesting companies on the JSE. It plays in the technology space, specifically in fintech on one side and software on the other. The fintech business is very focused on point-of-sale devices and building up a great estate of machines out there that can make money while the business sleeps and consumers swipe their cards. The software business doesn't enjoy the same level of annuity income, but in a good year, it can do really well. This gives the group a solid combination of annuitized and more ad hoc revenue opportunities. And in the year ended March 2024, it was the payments business that really shone brightly. Revenue for the group was up 19% and EBITDA margin expanded by 480 basis points, and that's a lot. Headline earnings per share, that was up 83%. The full year dividend was up 21%, which is more modest than growth in HEPS. But honestly, who will complain about 21% growth in the dividend? The software business does need to do better, with recent acquisitions needing to be bedded down, and hopefully better times ahead for that operation as a whole. For now, the payments business has worked its magic, and the group looks great. MultiChoice is in the midst of a deal with Canal Plus, an opportunity that has been taking up plenty of space in the headlines. While the market has focused mainly on the deal itself, MultiChoice recently released a trading statement. It shows a significant deterioration in the headline loss per share, i.e. the loss getting bigger, although they really did make a meal of it in the trading statement when trying to explain the direction of travel in earnings. The depreciation of the Nigerian Naira certainly isn't helping, and the losses are also being made worse by the investment in Showmax. As we know from global players like Netflix and Disney, getting a streaming business to profitability is a long and difficult road, and it is no different at MultiChoice. If you strip away the currency impact and the costs of M&A, then trading profit has moved higher at least. That's the silver lining here. And this shows that although Showmax is hungry for investment right now, the currency issues in Africa are actually the bigger problem. Speaking of earnings going the wrong way, we now deal with Spar. It's hard for me to understand how they aren't making the most of the terrible situation at Pick n Pay. ShopRite certainly is, with Woolworths also pointing to resilience in its food business. Spar is more complicated than just a South African operation, so the impact of European currency is a factor here, for example, and so is the general trading environment in Switzerland and the UK. Poland is now shown as a discontinued operation, so that's effectively out of these numbers. But still, headline earnings per share from continuing operations, the stuff they're hanging on to, is down by between 3 and 13%, and that is poor. Cost growth has been above turnover growth, and they are still suffering with the disastrous SAP systems implementation in KZN. Higher interest costs also don't help. The 6 months to March will go down as another disappointment for shareholders. At some point, surely things have to improve here for Spar, even if they just eat off the carcass of Pick n Pay. We end off on a high, with the Fashini Group showing us how retail can actually do really well when execution is strong. The market certainly appreciated the latest update, with the share price closing over 11% higher on the day. It certainly was not because of headline earnings per share, which only increased by 0.2%, because finance costs from higher debt levels ate up all of the growth in earnings. But the important, deeper story here is that the business was very cash generative in this period and made great progress on reducing its debt. So the next financial year should look a lot better on that front. It will look especially good if they can carry through the momentum from the year ended March 2024, in which revenue was up 8.9% and operating profit before finance costs was 9.9% higher. It's not all smooth sailing, with turnover under pressure in London and Australia. Weakness in the rand did help offset that pressure in this period, but it may not do so again in the next period. The highlight that really got the market talking, though, was the growth in online sales at TFG Africa, driven by Bash. Online sales increased by 44.4%, a highly impressive outcome, and a show of what is possible in South Africa, where online shopping is actually still in its infancy. What's that old business adage? Skate to where the puck is going, not where it has been. We might not play ice hockey in South Africa, but you can pretty clearly see that the Fashini Group is focusing on where retail is going, not where it's been. And of course, the market really liked that. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Wrap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.